Hey everybody, this is Cody Bateman. Welcome to our Relationship Marketing Podcast show. Super excited, like I always am, for the guests that we have on today. We're going to take a little bit of a different angle today on our subject. Typically, we're talking to sales professionals, people that are in the sales channel, sales processes, how relationship marketing fits on the sales and marketing side. I'm sure our guest may touch on that today, but he's got some unique disciplines that he speaks to, talking a lot about employee engagement and retention, which is a great subject. It's interesting because in the relationship marketing movement that we're a big part of, oftentimes we forget the importance of relationship marketing on the employee side of things. Yeah. I've had a guest on the show as well as featured in my book. His name is Greg Briers. If y'all remember, Greg Briers at the time was a C-level person for a large healthcare business. And we did a big segment on employee retention that he was a part of when he was utilizing our services, our relationship marketing service. Man, it was incredible. I mean, he shared some stats where they were saving millions and millions of dollars just by implementing relationship marketing principles and retaining the retention, help their retention so much that it saves that kind of money. So we don't speak on this subject that often, but we're certainly going to speak on it today. So without further ado, our guest today is Mr. Ben Baker. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Cody.
Well, Ben, we're excited to have you. I you know, you've got some great stuff out there. You're the founder of Lead at Any Level workshop series. You have a podcast called Your Living Brand.live. You've got this book, Powerful Personal Brands. And I know you talk a lot about personal brands. In fact, you have a new book that you're working on titled Humanizing Your Corporate Brand. And so you speak a lot to not only building a personal brand, but having a personal brand within a company organization. And that's a real important topic today because I think a lot of times people get confused as to how all that works. So talk to us, my friend. How does all that work? Do you have a personal brand, but yet you're part of a bigger organization? And how do you make sure those things don't compete with each other, that kind of thing?
Exactly. You know, it's funny. Personal branding has gotten a bad rap over the last 18 to 24 months because everybody is equating personal branding with influencer marketing, you know, and they sit there and say, it's the whole look at me, you know, the whole YouTube generation, the whole influencer generation. And it's that whole look at me and how can I make sure that I'm seen by millions and millions of people? But that's not what I talk about. What I talk about is how do you understand who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and why they find you valuable. You know, your personal brand is how people see you when you're not in the room. You know, when people talk about you, when you're not there to defend yourself, what do people say about you? And it's all about how do you influence that? Because people are going to, you know, they're going to take a look at you and they're going to listen to what you say and they're going to look at what you do. If they're not congruent, they're going to take a look at what you do and they're going to take that as valid. You know, because there's so many people out there that, you know, shake your hand and tell you how wonderful you are and thank you. And then behind your back, they backstab you, you know, to all their friends, you know, and people recognize that. And people know who the people are in the office, that who are the people they can trust, who are the people they can't trust, who are the people that are going to help them, who are the people that are going to hinder them, who are the people that are going to help them get ahead, and who are the people they need to, you know, to be with to make sure that they're along for the ride. And building your own personal brand is how you build value within an organization. It's how you get hired. It's how you get promoted. It's how you get given more responsibility, larger projects, you know, a bigger, you know, even the bigger office and the more salary. It's how you show up. And that's what your personal brand is all about. It's people knowing that they can count on you, people knowing that when somebody says something, that's what they're going to do. And that's what their personal brand is.
Okay, so in the olden days, when you say show up, you know, let's just go back to the old days. A lot of our listeners are getting acclimated to this new world of social media and stuff. And a lot of our listeners are like me. We're innovative old schoolers. Let's call it that. There's a lot of innovative old schoolers.
I think I fall into that category.
Yeah, you probably fall in that category too. So, I mean, you know, I'm used to the old days where showing up meant you show up to an office, depends on how you're dressed, on how you talk, how you speak, how you handle yourself, how you follow up with people. What's the difference between that and what you have to do today? What do you have to do today to show up? What do you have to do today to show up?
And I think that all of those things are still important. But I think you have to realize that there's another layer on top of that, and that layer is social media. And there's so many people out there that act a certain way on social media and act a different way in person. You know, and it's that incongruency that's the problem. You are who you are, who you are. You're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. We all have faults. We all have things that we do well. We all have things that we don't do well. There's things that we're better at than others. There's things that we like, there's things that we dislike, there's things that we agree with and things we don't disagree with. And the more you can be that person, that doesn't matter if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, or in person at a conference, in the office, you know, just walking down the street. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is what I do. And you're consistent across all the different mediums. That's how people are going to trust you.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because prior to this show, I mean, you and I don't know each other. I've heard about you and I've studied a little bit, but just prior to going on the show, what do you suppose I did? I went on your LinkedIn page. So I went on your LinkedIn page, and it's interesting because, you know, I go on your LinkedIn page, I scroll down a little bit, I clicked on a couple things, I watched one of your YouTube videos. And I didn't spend very long. I probably was on there maybe 7-8 minutes, just browsing around so I could get acquainted with you. And it's amazing, Ben. It's amazing how powerful it is, because in that 7 or 8 minutes, I feel like I did get acquainted with you. By the way, great job on your LinkedIn page. Here's what I learned about you without meeting you face to face or without someone telling me this about you. I go on LinkedIn, I see your page, I see how it's laid out. Here's what I picked up is that this guy is very professional. He's got his act together. He's pretty no nonsense. He's a good old boy. He gets up and speaks his passion. And he's truly a servant leader that just wants to help. Now, I captured that in 7 minutes on your LinkedIn page. Was that pretty accurate?
That's who I try to be. You know, am I perfect at it? No, but none of us are. Right. But you're right. I mean, those are the things that are important to me. Those are absolutely the things that are important in my life.
So is that your brand?
And that's my brand. And that's who I am. And that's, you know, some people will call it brand. Some people will call it reputation. Some people will call it other things. And it really doesn't matter what you call it. It's who you are at your core. I mean, the rest of it is just words. It's verbiage. You know, it's coming up with a word that explains it. You know, it's like the Nike swoosh. The Nike swoosh on its own means nothing. It's everything that's behind it.
So do you think people... Because this ties in with how you started talking about people think that branding means being an influencer or trying to be an influencer. Do you think a lot of times that people overdo it? That like there's a lot of people that underdo it. There's a lot of people that don't realize, first of all, you got to rely on social media. You got to build your pages. You got to make yourself present there, because people are going to review you through social media before they meet you or talk to you today. And whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is. There's a lot of people that underdo it, but I want to talk about the people that possibly overdo it. Are there people that overdo it, and how do they overdo it?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of people that overdo it. I mean, I don't want to slag on influencers, because, you know, these are people that for one way or another have built hundreds of thousands, millions of fans. People listen to everything they have to say. They make way more money than I do, some of them, because they have the influence and they're able to get brands to, you know, get them to open up the latest iPhone and charge $1.5 million to do that. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, but you have to understand what your brand is. You know, if you have a brand that's over the top, you got to be over the top all the time. You know, and that's who you are. There are people out there that are absolutely gregarious. They're, you know, they're in your face, they're loud, they're proud, and that's who they are. And there's certain people that are going to resonate with that, and that's their tribe.
I think you and I may
be turned off by that. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because we're not the people they're speaking to.
Right. I think that's an important message because, you know, what I've learned probably the hard way in my career is what you just said. There's a lot of different kinds of people out there. So just because some guy or gal does not resonate with me doesn't mean they're not going to resonate with hundreds of thousands of other people.
That's right.
And vice versa. So you have to realize you're never going to please everybody, but you're going to please a segment of people based on who you are. So the key is just be who you are. And I want you to speak to this.
Sure.
So a lot of people, they get the advice, just go be who you are. Do you be who you are. But then what happens in today's day and age, there's instant feedback everywhere.
Yeah.
So you go do you, you be who you are, and there's instant feedback. And some of that feedback, a lot of that feedback comes from people that don't like you.
Yeah.
You're a weirdo, man. Why don't you knock it off or whatever? And you see these nasty little comments. So you get discouraged and then you stop being you. I mean, do you see that a lot? And what do you say to those people?
Yeah. I mean, I mentor a lot at the universities. I do a lot of mentoring at the different universities, and that's probably one of the number one thing that I get from 18, 19, 24, 25 year old students is there's people out there that write really mean things on my social media feed. And I go, okay, give me an example. He says, well, I wrote a post. I said, okay, you wrote a post. Was it successful? He says, yeah, we got 100,000 people that looked at this post. I said, that's amazing. Well, how many positive likes did you get? Well, we got over 10,000, you know, positive likes on this thing. I said, that's great. How many negative you got? Well, I got 32. And what are you focusing on? They're focusing on the 32. I will guarantee you, I have never had a post in my life that's had 100,000 views. I've had 25,000 views. I've had 35,000 views. I've never had 100,000 views. But to sit there and say you got 100,000 views, you got 10,000 positive likes, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And 32 people that detract from what you're saying, and that's what you're focused on. This is the problem with society, is that everybody is focused on the negative. People are focused on, oh, well, I'm not good enough. And the thing is, who are these people that are 32? You're not going to like everybody. Coca-Cola does not have 100% market share. There are people out there that will never drink Coca-Cola in their life. You know, there are people in the world that will never own a Visa card. You know, these people have hundreds of millions of followers, but there's 7.5 billion people in the world. There's going to be people in the world that hate you. There are people in the world that truly do not like what I have to say, and that's okay.
Right.
You know, it's a matter of understanding this is what I do. This is who I do it for. And this is how I help them and concentrate on those people. And yeah, does it hurt sometimes when you get a negative comment and you sit there and say, okay, but what's, you know, you have to sit there and say, what's the context behind the person that's leaving this comment? And it's up to you whether you want to engage with that person or not. And there's, you know, there's ways to do that in a great way, and there's ways to do that in a bad way. But it's up to you to decide what you want to do. I always focus on the positive. Who can I help and how can I help them? And you know what? If there's detractors, some people are just going to hate. Some people are just angry. Some people are just, you know, having a bad day. And there's nothing I can do to help them. So focus on the people I can help and the people I can change.
It's really good stuff. It's really important. I think it's even important as it's important as we build our brand, but it's also important as we view other people's brands.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry so much about the people that you don't, because there's people out there you don't like.
Absolutely.
It's just life. there's people we like and there's people we naturally like and migrate to. There's people that we naturally don't like and don't migrate to. All the personality experts say there's at least four quadrants of personality types, and an analytical guy or girl's probably not going to like a visionary person that's large and in charge and out in your face all the time. You know what I mean? So, and I do, I think that that's really important to remember. And another important thing to remember is, look, some people naturally resonate with you and some people don't, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Even in your personal life, like when you're, there's some people that you can have a really good connecting conversation with, and some people you just don't have a natural connection with, and you don't need to worry about it or beat yourself up over it. You just move on, you know?
But on the other hand, you also need to understand that other people out there have different personality traits and different communication styles. And if you're always trying to communicate your vision, your values, and your message to everybody using your method and your style, it's not going to resonate with some people. You need to sit there and say, who's the audience I'm in front of? How do they communicate? How do they like to retain information? How do they like to be spoken to and be able to speak to them in their language? When I'm on stage, you know, the first thing I do is I call the conference organizer and say, who's going to be in the audience? You know, is it CEOs or is it, you know, people that work in a particular, you know, what's the level here? And I speak at the level of the people that are on, you know, in the audience and try to make references that are, you know, important to them. Because if I can do that, even if it's not my style, it's going to affect them better. And that's what it's all about.
It's an excellent point, speaking to the personality profile that's out there. And, you know, we talk a lot on this show about assessment, the importance of assessment, assessing people's needs, wants, desires, goals. There's also an assessment to somebody's personality type. I do a thing in some of my workshops, some of my live workshops, seminars that I do, ask a simple question. I have these workbooks that we use, and I will intentionally misspell a few words. And then I intentionally skip, like I'll be on one page and right in the middle of the page, I'll say, all right, stop, go to page 12. You're on page 3, skip over to page 12 and let's do this.
Yeah.
Now skip back to page 3, you know, so I'll play these little games throughout the day. And it's so funny because
some people go crazy.
Oh my gosh.
There's some people go absolutely crazy.
They're going nuts. But I do that intentionally because later on in the afternoon, I come back to that and I say, okay, now by show of hands, how many people were driven crazy by me skipping around the workbook? And then hands will go up. How many didn't care at all? And then hands go up. And it's interesting because some audiences, I'll get hardly any hands up. So I know who I'm speaking to. I know that I've got more right brain, visionary type of people that they don't really care all that much about details. They're just there for the big picture.
Right.
So you speak differently to that group versus, and there's other times when almost drive everybody crazy. So I know I've got analytical people in the room. Now I know that's an elementary way, probably an elementary way of doing personality profiling, but when you're doing it with 500 people at once, it's
absolutely it automatically, you know, separates the room and says, okay, I've got, you know, 25% analytical and 75% visionary. Okay, great. I understand that. Now I can, you know, spend the rest of the day or the next 2 days or whatever the workshop is.
Yeah.
Speaking in the language of being able to make sure that you keep both of those tribes in mind.
So you
brilliant. I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. We have fun with that. You get into this employee stuff, employee retention.
Yeah.
Employee engagement. Tell me, what is employee engagement? What is that?
Employee engagement, in a word, it's how unhappy are your people? You know, it really truly is. How unhappy are your people? And how, you know, unhappy can go everything from, you know, I'm having a bad day, to I absolutely hate my boss or I hate my job and I've got Indeed or whatever in the top right hand corner of my monitor and I'm constantly searching for new jobs, you know, out there. I mean, you look at people's LinkedIn profiles today, and especially the younger generation, I don't mean to pick on millennials, but I'm going to pick on millennials for a minute, where you have this 18-month cycle where people sit there and say every 18 months you look at their resume, they've got another job. And it's very rarely is it within the same company. It's usually, you know, in another company. And I've got a new calculator on my website right now that companies can figure out what that's costing them. The average is about $100,000.
Yeah.
It's costing about $100,000 every single time you lose an employee. By the time you hire somebody new, you onboard them, you train them, you get them up to speed, and you get them to the point where they're a valuable asset within your corporation. You know, that's the number that I work with. And if we sit there and go, okay, what do we need to do to make employees less unhappy? And 9 times out of 10, it's not free beer Friday. It's not unlimited vacation. It's not, you know, whether you have, you know, 80% dental or 90% dental. It's comes down to communication. I mean, the perks are important. Trust me, my wife has got great perks at her office, and we use them, and they're phenomenal, and we appreciate them. But if she was at an office that was, you know, where there was constantly a manager that was, you know, yelling at her, if there was constantly, you know, miscommunication going on, if she was being stymied every single, you know, time she was doing work, it didn't matter how much money she was making or how good the benefits were. You know, if she's not feeling listened to, understood, and valued, sooner or later, she's going to leave. Sooner or later, somebody's going to offer her a better job somewhere, or she's going out on a resume board saying, you know what, there's got to be a better job somewhere out there somewhere. You know, so it's a matter of companies looking at that. And we look at everything from onboarding to, you know, internal communication within the company. We take a look at what's your internal training programs like. You know, what, you know, how often are you bringing in experts? How often are you doing team-based exercises? I'm not talking about everybody go rock climbing just to go rock climbing, or everybody going bowling just to go bowling. What's the training that goes along with it?
So I want to tie the last two conversations back together again. Yep. So you're talking about all these things that you help companies with to do to retain their employees. And then just a minute ago, we were talking about personality profiling. Do you do personality profiling as part of that whole thing as well? I mean,
I bring people in to do that. You know, I'm not DISC certified. I'm not, you know, I don't have the DISC certification, or I don't have the StrengthFinder certification or whatever. I've got people that I will bring in to do those type of assessments ahead of time, and build that into a 2-3-4 day workshop to be able to have that.
I find that to be very impactful, very helpful as far as morale and happiness on the job. In fact, we brought in a program called Emergenetics, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a color personality thing. And we worked on Emergenetics with all of our employees, different departments and whatnot. Man, it was fascinating. I mean, the improvement in communication after that training took place was phenomenal. In fact, even myself and my executive assistant, who I'm very close with, Emerald, like she runs my whole life. And her and I get at each other.
Boss behind the boss.
Yeah, she's the boss behind, and she does incredible stuff. Her and I were getting at each other's throats at times. And sometimes I'd get so angry and just so frustrated, and she would do the same thing. And well, come to find out, I'm huge. I'm about as far into the right brain as it goes. I'm a visionary, big picture. In Emergenetics, it's yellow. You know, yeah. I'm yellow, and like I'm just
big sun yellow.
I'm just taking over. You know, a big picture details. You guys figure that out. Well, she, Emerald, she's all totally opposite. All about detail, analytics. Yeah. Oh my goodness! You know, she starts going down the rabbit hole before I want to go down the rabbit hole, and man, it was driving us crazy. But we learned kind of how to speak to each other and how to communicate better. So it's a matter of me gaining a respect for how she processes, her gaining respect for how I process. Your title doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, you have to be able to interact with people.
Well, I get a lot of can you come in and train my people? You know, is the comment that I get more times out of not. Can you come in and train my people? I go, no, it's got to start with you.
Right.
You know, if it doesn't start at the head, if it doesn't stop at the top, if the CEO, the owner, the entrepreneur, whoever is the person who makes the final decisions and writes the checks is not on board and does not believe in it, is not drinking the Kool-Aid, it really doesn't matter what I do, you know, at the levels beneath them. I can work with the C-suite, you know, the directors, the VPs, all the way down to, you know, everybody on the show floor, and, you know, and get them motivated and get them excited. But if the people at the very top of the food chain are not on board, and if they're not living the changes that need to be made, sooner or later, those changes are going to stop happening and people are going to revert to back to where they were.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that's not even mandated from above. It's got to be something that's believed from above. And it can't just be come in, do a 2-day workshop, leave, and then, you know, everything's going to be better. You know, you got to do ongoing training. You got to have ongoing, like we do a lot of, you know, after the fact workshops where we'll do video calls with teams and say, so how are things going? What are the challenges? What are some things that you're working on? What are the things that have come up that's gone well? What are the things that haven't gone well? And be able to work with smaller teams in a video session afterwards for, you know, like 3, 6, 9 months afterwards on a bi-weekly or monthly basis to be able to keep them going and keep them motivated. Because if you don't keep them in line, if you don't build those habits, you know, we go back to sitting on the couch and eating potato chips.
So, yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about recognition. How does recognition and appreciation fit into your training?
Yeah, I started off in, 25 years ago in direct mail, and very quickly moved into promotional marketing because we always wanted something to put inside the envelope to be able to, you know, call it bumpy mail. People opened up something and say, oh, what's inside the envelope? It's a tactile thing and opening it up. So promotional marketing and reward and recognition is something that's always been part of my underlying thinking. And the problem is most people do not reward often enough and think that it has to be this big recognized thing in front of everybody else and awards and plaques and, you know, and cruises to the Bahamas and all those type of things that happen on a yearly basis. It's the little things that happen on a daily basis that matter. That was a great job. I really liked how you presented that really well at the conference. I really liked what you did. Can you come in and talk to a different group about what you just did? Or, you know, I like what you're doing. Can we share this amongst, you know, the different departments? You know, it's those little attaboys and those little attagirls, and the way that you can make people feel special on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, that's where the good recognition comes in. Yeah, I mean, the awards are nice, you know, to be able to have on a resume. The cruises are nice because, you know what, people feel that they're somewhat special. But it's got to be, you know, it's got to be for a reason. Like there's got to be have to be metrics behind it. Here's a perfect example. There's a company that I work with that there's the mothership that's, you know, there's the head office where there's 500 or 600 employees in it. And then they have a whole bunch of branch offices, and the branch offices are 30 to 50 employees spread out across North America. And I happened to show up on a day where there was a big cake in the staff room at lunch. And I said, well, is it somebody's birthday? He said, no, we do this monthly. Every single month, one of the VPs who loves baking cakes bakes these really fondant special cakes up, and she makes one for the people whose birthday it is that month. I said, oh, that's great. I said, so what do you do for the branch offices? And I got this absolutely blank look on people's face. I said, well, we don't do anything. We couldn't get cakes out to everybody's office. I said, but they get a newsletter on a weekly or monthly basis that says that, you know, these are the people whose birthdays that were at head office, and pictures with, you know, with people in front of the cake, right? Yeah. Well, how does it make the extra 400 people you have across North America feel when they, you know, head office gets one thing and they don't get the other? What would it take to call a bakery in these small little towns and say, on a monthly basis, on the 15th of every month, deliver a cake that says happy birthday in every single location? It's little things. It's never the big things. It's the little things that people manage. It's the Maya Angelou, you know, that people remember how you make them feel.
Yeah.
You know, if we can focus on that as leaders of organizations, whether you're a team leader, you're a regional leader, a national leader, whatever, it's how do we make people feel special on a regular basis, and that they're listened to, they're understood, and they're valued, that's the recognition we need to be focused on.
Yeah, a little thing would be something like a real greeting card in the mail.
Exactly. Perfect. That was going to be my next thing. Is that what you guys do is phenomenal because it's personal.
Well, I even take that into the corporate arena where, you know, you're dealing with different departments and managers, employees and at all levels. And even there, it's just a simple take the time to recognize somebody, send them a real greeting card, something they can touch, they can feel it, they can smell it, they can read it. It's got a picture of them in it. That's great. Just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, or say happy birthday or whatever it is. In fact, I go back to the guy that I started the show telling the story about, Mr. Greg Breyers, who's C-level guy, the big healthcare business. He oversaw thousands of employees, customer service centers around the country. He'd come into town and he'd do these walkabouts. He'd tell this story how he'd do these walkabouts. Mm-hmm. And just meet people. And, you know, he tells a story about how he met this guy, was a janitor. The guy was a janitor. He met this janitor and got to know him, got to know a little bit about his family and stuff like that. And he sent him a card. He sent him, you know, this is a VP guy, and he sends him a card talking about him and his family and his circumstances and congratulating him. And, well, here's what's interesting. Obviously, he made that guy's year. He created connection with that human being. He's a human being. He's not a janitor. He's a human being.
He's not employee number 64357.
That's right. But what's interesting is then he goes on to talk about how, what do you suppose the janitor now does? Everywhere he goes in that building, lots and lots of employees, Whenever the subject comes up about Mr. Big VP Greg Breyers, this guy's on a soapbox about how cool Greg Breyers is.
Yeah.
And how cool the company is that recognizes all of their people. And so he does a great job telling that story. The reason I spend the time to share that is I like this guy so much, Greg Breyers, I ended up hiring him to run one of my companies. So
perfect. Love
he
it.
He is the CEO of one of our companies and just does a great job. So anyway, yeah, I mean, like you said, the little things are so critical, so important.
Yeah, I love when I get a thank you card from somebody. I mean, how rarely do you get somebody, you know, maybe somebody will send you an email. Maybe somebody will call you up a few days later and say thanks for the meeting. But it doesn't happen very often. There isn't a lot of people that will actually take the time to do it. But the people that go that one extra step and throw a thank you card in the mail, you know, I tell every single kid that I mentor at the universities, after every single meeting, you have to have that thank you note already written out, ready to go with a stamp on it with their address, and have it in the mail within 24 hours of you going on that interview, because it will make an impactful difference. You will be the one of the 50 different people that they interviewed. You're probably one of, or maybe two people that actually took the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. So, founder of Lead at Any Level workshop series. Tell us a little bit about these workshops.
Yeah, the workshop is a 2-day workshop. The second day is all about, we run them through a scenario. And they're designed for building leaders at any level. So it's a matter of sitting there going, how do we move people beyond the Peter Principle? How do we, you know, I am a big, you know, have a big kick right now. If there's so many people out there that are being promoted to their level of incompetence, you know, they're great salespeople. We make them sales managers, but we don't give them the tools to succeed. You know, somebody's a great area manager. We make them a national manager, but we don't give them the tools to succeed. We need to get people to understand it's beyond the technical skill. It's the human skills. It's the people skills. It's the ability to listen. It's the ability to understand. It's the ability to create value and give people the understanding of, says, this is where we are, this is where we're going, this is why you matter. You know, and it's getting people all marching in the same direction, because people don't follow titles. You know, just because you have vice president of whatever on your business card, people will follow you out of fear, but they're gonna talk about you and they're gonna disrespect you, and they're probably gonna go looking for another job. you know, as soon as they can get it, or they're going to get transferred to a different department. But if they've got a manager that sits there and says, you know what, this person gives me the opportunity to succeed. They give me responsibility to take risk and build my portfolio and build my confidence and learn how to do the next level, you know, job. Those are the people that are, you know, gold within an organization. You know, it's not just the fact that, okay, I'm almighty on high and thou shalt do what I say. It's how can I help you who work with me and for me? How can I make your life better? It's servant leadership. And that's what I truly try to teach.
Well, it's powerful stuff. Servant leadership comes up a lot on this show, and appreciate the example that you are out there. Tell us, how do our listeners get to you? I mean, what websites, how do they get a copy of your book? You've got some great content, my friend. I'd love to have our folks exposed to that.
Yeah. Everything is available on yourbrandmarketing.com. I'm giving you the wrong website. Yourbrandmarketing.com has got everything on it. I've got there. There's white papers and eBooks on there. Copies, you know, how to get copies of my book. There's articles. There's the employee churn calculator is on there. Everything is there. And I try to make as much available for people as humanly possible, because my attitude is, if I give stuff away, people are better, you know, and I can't teach everybody and I can't help everybody. So if I can give a little bit of knowledge away and make things better for certain people, then, you know, people will come and, you know, hopefully bring me in to be able to work on a higher level and a more, you know, and a larger level to be able to have that expansive, you know, experience for companies.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, you're leading by example in doing those things. We call that around here, give for the sake of giving. You just want to give things away to people for the sake of giving. And the more you give away, the more you receive, you know, it's a good old law of attraction in action there. And especially today with social media and all these different channels that you can use to give your content away, give it away, and more of it comes back to you in paid business. And it's just a powerful thing. So here's the deal, Ben. Here's how I always like to close these podcast shows. You know, I've asked you a bunch of questions. You've kind of been confined to my list of questions and that night. So I always close by just giving you the floor. No more questions, no more nothing. This is your chance, the last couple of minutes of the show. Just give us those golden nuggets that you feel like our listeners here need to hear. Golden nuggets from Ben Baker. Go ahead.
Yeah, probably the one thing that I would talk to all your leaders about is find out what you're passionate about. Find out what you love. Find out what you're great at. Don't focus on the things that you're bad at. We're all bad at something. We all have things, you know, you wouldn't want me to do your taxes. You wouldn't want me to paint your house. But if you focus on the things that people do well, and you believe in people, and you trust people, and you nurture people, amazing things happen. You know, people are people. People are going to make mistakes. We all are going to make mistakes. It's training people and teaching people that it's okay to make mistakes. And as long as we learn from them, as long as we get better from them, and as long as better things happen because of them, the people that make mistakes and keep making mistakes, that's a training opportunity. You know, you have to sit there and realize that there are some people that, you know what, some people are going to be better than others. Some people are going to learn from their mistakes the first time. Some people are going to learn from their mistakes the third time. You need to make the decision when they're no longer cost, you know, they're no longer a benefit to your organization. But the majority of people, if they made a mistake, they've hopefully learned from it and they're going to be better for it. And if you can sit there and say, you know what, I understand you made a mistake. Let's sit down together and let's figure out what went right, what went wrong, and how we could do this better next time. And if you treat your staff that way, if you treat those that you work with that way, instead of berating them and say, why did you do that? You know, life is so much better, because if we give people the trust and the ability to make those mistakes, 9 times out of 10, they're going to do it with the best interest of the company at heart. You know, give people the tools to succeed. Let them understand what the mission and vision and values of the company is. Give them a brand story that they can, you know, they can stand behind. Let them understand where the company is, where it's going, and how they fit in. And if you do that, if you make people believe that they are part of the family and what they do matters and what they do enables the company to be better, they're going to be better advocates for the company. They're going to be champions of the brand. They're going to treat your customers better. And in the end, you're going to be more profitable because you're going to have loyal customers that see value in what you do. And you're not going to be perceived as a commodity that's constantly lowering your price just to get market share.
Well, there you have it, my friends. Mr. Ben Baker, thank you so much for being on the show today. Appreciate your closing comments. Were absolutely incredible. Appreciate all that you do. Just keep being you, man. Follow your own advice. Keep being you, doing your thing, and you resonate with a lot of people out there in the business world. And just appreciate your servant leadership and all that you do. So go check him out, yourbrandmarketing.com. You can get more content information on Ben Baker. And again, Ben, appreciate you being with us. Thank you, sir.
Cody, thank you for all your time. I appreciate you sharing the mic with me.
Thank you. So there you have it, everybody. This is our latest version of the Relationship Marketing Podcast. Make sure you tune in, tell your friends about it, and let's keep sharing this message. It is a very important message today to build genuine relationships with other human beings throughout your business process. Take care, y'all. We'll see you next time.
If you have enjoyed this episode of the Relationship Marketing Podcast with Cody B, be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review so that together we can get this message, The Power of Human Connection, out to the world. You can find Cody's new book, The Power of Human Connection, on Amazon or the Send Out Cards gift store.